The reading this morning is from Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers.
Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
The reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 4, and it's from the NIV version of the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace be with you.
Hello, my name is Rob Bewley. I'm the vicar of the Church of Christ the King. If you're joining us from outside Christ the King, then you're very welcome this morning. Let's pray. May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father God, would you add to my words what it is that you're wanting to say in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, if you're from outside Christ the King, you're extremely welcome joining us today. As a church, we have been for a few weeks now in the middle of a series on spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines we've defined as any activity that can help me gain power to live as Jesus taught and modelled it. Previously, we've looked at prayer, study, worship, fasting and solitude. We organised the series many weeks ago before the circumstances we find ourselves in now. And it was decided that this week would be on meditation. So what do? I turn to my book on Richard Foster on celebration of discipline. And the opening line on the chapter of meditation says, in contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things, noise, hurry and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. Noise, hurry and crowds. How interesting that we come across that. During this period of all periods. These are indeed strange times that we find ourselves in. And many of us are wondering what on earth is going on spiritually, theologically. It's true to say, and some people have drawn this conclusion, that if we were reading the story of a frightening disease sweeping through the land and indeed beyond in the Old Testament, we might be tempted to see it as a divine call from God to a society that had abandoned him. I don't know if that's the case or not. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure I want to make that claim at this stage. But what I do know is that the Lord is in this with us. He's the one that we can cry to for help and for mercy. There's no doubt 2020 is going to be the year that changes how we live. And I know that God can bring good out of any situation. Maybe the call upon us to realise just how much we're travelling beyond what we need to travel, perhaps, in terms of use of the world's resources. I don't know. Only time will tell. I think it's going to change how we do church as well. But that's for us to reflect on in the months to come. I saw a lovely quote just yesterday that said, in the rush to return to normal, use this time to consider which parts of normal are worth rushing back to. Food for thought. As all is stripped back, all is laid bare, all is somewhat fragile and everyone's lives are affected. How's that going to impact our relationship with God? I find myself saying to a lot of people, signing off a lot of emails that I'm writing, stay safe, stay a safe distance from people, but draw closer to God. Let's allow this time to draw us to him rather than away from him. The subject of meditation seems very appropriate to this time when some of us, by no means all, but some of us have more time on our hands than is usually the case. And I just want to try and answer three quick questions about meditation. What is biblical meditation, including what it isn't? How do we meditate? And then why do we meditate? First thing to say in terms of what is biblical meditation is it's not emptying the mind, but filling the mind. It's not detachment, as you hear in some exponents of Eastern meditation, but attachment to God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Hebrew word for meditation is used 58 times in the Old Testament. And it's a practice that Jesus used frequently in his ministry, withdrawing from the crowds to be with his Father, to hear from his Father. Many of us will know verses from John 15 that talk about abiding in him, or verses from John 10 when Jesus reminds us about what it means to be sheep who recognise the shepherd's voice. That comes with time and reflection. The Russian mystic Theophan the Recluse, no, I hadn't heard of him either before today, said, to pray is to descend with the mind into the heart and there to stand before the face of the Lord, ever present, all seeing within you. Meditation is a practice that takes time and that takes focus. So how can we meditate? The first thing we need to do when meditating is to remove distractions. There are so many things in our lives that distract us, aren't they? Just when preparing this, I found that emails were pinging in to my computer, actually largely about technicalities of how we're going to put this service together, that were distracting me. At this point, I probably should actually point out that I'm recording this on Friday to allow time for editing and stuff to go in. So if anything significant happens in the world on Friday evening or Saturday, and I don't allude to it, that's why, okay? But so many things distract us, don't they? Sounds, sights, our clock, our phone. Aren't phones such a mixed blessing? They can be used in so many different ways. When I'm spending time with the Lord, I try not to have my phone with me, and yet I know that it can also be quite useful for checking a Bible reference that's come into my head, or a song that seems particularly appropriate. But we try and remove distractions. For some, lighting a candle is helpful. Not for everyone, but that can sometimes just help us focus. The key thing is to try to be present in the moment rather than be thinking about things that you have to do later in the day. And I encourage us all to take a short passage of scripture, a short passage from the Bible, rather than the long one, and not spend time analysing it or studying it, but simply drinking in the meaning, soaking in it. That's why our thoughts for the day, which we've been doing every day, we've kept based on literally two or three or maybe even one verse. Incidentally, if you haven't seen any of those, they're available on Facebook or through Instagram, which you can see via our church website, which is www.ctk.org.uk. Keep those reflections short so we can go deeply into the meaning of the scripture. And time spent in that way will, of course, allow us to learn scripture by heart, which will give a great reservoir of truth and encouragement to keep us going. The Philippians 4 passage, which we've just had read, encourages us to focus on the good and how important that is in times of difficulty, the kind of times that we're facing at the moment. Another way of meditating, and I know it suits a lot of people, is actually to go out for a walk in a place that's got nature all around and to look at what the trees, the fields, the flowers, etc., and to say, what are they saying to me about Creator God? So that's the what of biblical meditation, and then a few little thoughts on how to meditate. What about the why of meditating? Well, in short, meditating is about learning to hear God's voice, to get to know him better, to change our behaviour and then be more like him. It's always the case that hearing God's voice should lead to obeying God's word. The passage we had read from Psalm 1 reminds us of a tree by a river that has deep roots. And that way the tree doesn't die when the rain dries up. because it can still access the moisture, the water from the river, and therefore it will still produce fruit at a time when stockpiling, quite rightly, is getting a bad press. Then in a sense the tree is stockpiling water from the river, but in a way that's allowed, I need to point out. And that's so important in this season when we can't physically be together to worship, that we find other ways of engaging with God and keeping those deep roots to get that goodness, that connectedness from God. If you take an analogy differently, rather than potentially a tree by a river, think of a boat in a storm. I'm no sailor, but I think if there's a keel coming down from the hull of the boat, then that will actually steady it going deep into the water. An anchor, of course, does the same thing. There's a song by Matt Redman that's been very important to me over recent days called Songs in the Night. And there's a line in it that says, when I am in the storm is not in me. I will be at peace. I'll wait here. I thought very appropriate for this season. Being soaked in truth is a great antidote to anxiety. And so meditating on God's truth can be an antidote to anxiety. Again, Philippians 4 talks about focusing on good things. Not to ignore the troublesome, not to ignore the bad, not to ignore the news, but to keep things in perspective. And remember, when Paul wrote that letter, he was in prison. Some of us may feel somewhat imprisoned at the moment. We'll be pretty confident, I think, that for all of us listening to this, the conditions we're in are better than the prison that Paul was in. Lots of us are understandably afraid of dying at the moment. That's very natural. And at times like this, it's good to meditate on big verses. Big verses like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. That doesn't mean that we won't necessarily die in the natural sense in this world, but we have the privilege, the knowledge of eternal life with our Lord Jesus, always to be with him in the life that is truly life. And knowing that, hopefully, gives us the peace. Peace of knowing a certain future, whatever the next few weeks or months may bring. I was delighted to hear of a friend yesterday who was able to lead a friend of his to the Lord, and the person had a heightened awareness of his mortality and asking all sorts of important questions. And that's the time that we're in as a society at the moment. If you're watching this today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour, if you haven't accepted the forgiveness that's been won for us on the cross and the freedom that's been won for us on the cross, then amidst all the things that you're doing to protect yourself at the moment, probably the best protective thing you can do is to give your life to him. I hope and pray that you don't get this virus. I hope and pray that it disappears as quickly as it came. But without wishing to sound morbid, we will all die at some point. We don't know when, we don't know from what, but we will all die at some point, and we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's make sure of our eternal destiny while taking all the right precautions about our current destiny. If you want to talk to any of us at the Church of Christ the King, then please do contact us via our website or via email addresses that you will find on that site. So in conclusion, as we think about meditation, as we think about what biblical meditation is, as we think about how to meditate, as we think about why we meditate, let's embrace the opportunities of this time. As we face also the trials of this time, let's endeavour to fill our lives and our minds and our hearts with the love of God. The love of God that produces peace, which passes all understanding. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that when we draw close to you, you have promised that you will draw close to us. I pray for each one of us at this time, in these strange times of isolation, that we would know ourselves being drawn ever more closely to you, that you would bring your truth, your grace, and your comfort. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.